What is your part in missions? What is it that you have an opportunity to do in missions? Looking at this story of Hannah dedicating her son Samuel to the Lord, we know the name Samuel. He was a very important person in the Old Testament. And Samuel was instrumental in leading Israel before they had a king. So Samuel was a very important person in Bible history. But it's an interesting story about his mother and about how she dedicated him to the Lord. How her part in missions was to give her son to missions. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll read verses 27 and 28 to start with. It says, "For this child," Hannah, the mother, is praying, "for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and look at this story and see how it applies to us as people today and what we can do with missions and how that we can trust you for what you would like to do through us. We thank you for a church such as Merrimack Valley who has a vision for missions, who wants to be an encouragement to missionaries, but also to encourage the people here to take part in missions. That can be through giving, that can be through going to the field themselves. And God, I pray that you'll use this week to make an impact in the lives of the people here in the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The story here is that Hannah had asked God for a child. And she not only asked him for a child, she asked God specifically for a boy. And so Hannah started off, her part in missions was to request something from the Lord. Now, she didn't just request something from the Lord. She requested something from the Lord for a purpose. For a purpose to give this child back to the Lord. As we think about missions, particularly in churches, we're thinking about what can I give out of my pocket to the Lord. But I want you to think further than that. It's not just finances. It's not just dollars that you can give to the Lord. You can give yourself. You can give your child. Is that a scary thought for you as parents? To think that God would choose your child to be a missionary? There's some people who don't go to the mission field because mom and dad won't let them go. Now, obviously, someone who's called to be a missionary, they can't blame mom and dad for not going to the mission field. But are you making it difficult for your child to surrender to missions? Are you making it difficult for your child to make that step into what the Lord would have for them? Oh, well, no, I guess the Lord can have my child if he wants my child, but not me. I'm not going. Well, it doesn't just stop with our children. We can give ourselves to the Lord for missions. So Hannah here in the story, she asked specifically, she said, God, I'm requesting something from you. And she specifically said, not just a child, but I'm asking a man-child. In verse 11, 1 Samuel 1, 11, she says to the Lord that she's wanting a man-child. She said, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Specifically, she asked, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. She asked for a child. She asked for a man-child specifically for the purpose of giving him back to the Lord. Now, as we think of the week of Faith Promise, I'm sure we'll hear a lot about praying about how much the Lord would have you give financially to missions. Well, you ought to pray about it. You ought to say, Lord, how much can I give money-wise? What would you like me to give? Not just so that you can have a whole bunch of money come into your pocket, but for, like Hannah, so that you can turn around and give it right back to the Lord. So Hannah asks specifically, and then she asked with a purpose, and that purpose was to give him back to the Lord. You can ask God for money. It's okay. It's okay to ask God for money. We often hear people talk about, and I don't like this, people talk, well, you get so you can give, so you can get so you can give, you can get, you can. That shouldn't, your purpose shouldn't be give just so you can get. It should be you get so that you can give. That's okay. But that giving just so I can get more, I don't know that that's necessarily the right way to think about it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, a familiar verse, says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You're gonna ask the Lord specifically and say, God, what can I do financially this week for the whole year? And let me encourage you to be involved in missions for the whole year. The program of Faith Promise is not just a once a year commitment. It's a commitment you're making for the whole year. And you say, well, I can be part of this for the whole year, and I want to encourage you to do that. And every one of us can take a part in that. But then, again, don't think this week of just dollars. Think about your life. I was encouraged a few weeks ago. We were in a church in Tennessee, and the pastor mentioned a family. He said, pray for this family. They have specific need. Pray for this family. And when he mentioned the husband and wife, I said, I know the wife. I grew up with that girl. She was about 6 years younger than I was. But we grew up in the same church. You know, it's an encouragement to me to hear about this girl that I didn't really know that well. She was much younger than I. In fact, I knew her mom and dad a lot better than I knew her and her sister. And now both the girls are on the mission field, one in Nicaragua, one in Honduras. And that's an encouragement to me. What about your children? Are you willing to allow your children to grow up? You know, to me, this girl, she's still a little girl. The last time I was really around her, I was 18 years old, and she would have been 12. So in my mind, she's still just a little girl. But she's grown up now. She's married. She's going to the mission field. And it's an encouragement to me to see that. It would be an encouragement to your pastor to see your kids on the mission field, to see you go. Some of you, maybe your pastor would be excited to see you go for other reasons, but if you went to the mission field, that would thrill your pastor's heart. It would excite him. It would be an encouragement to him, because this church, if this church just ministered to you and that was all, what happens when you die off? Well, the church is gone. No more church. No, your church, your teaching here that you get, you learn, you're taking it out to the business world. You're taking it to the people you work with. You're working in missions here today, I hope, in evangelism and witnessing to others, inviting others into church. And then your church can propagate through the years in different places. I'm excited. Now, my church is a good, strong church, the church I grew up in. But, you know, if our church, for whatever reason, if Odessa, Texas got blown off the map by a nuclear warhead, I'm excited to think about the missionaries from our church who are working in the world, who are witnessing, and our church still has an impact in the world. In fact, the lady who led me to the Lord is a missionary in Uruguay. We got to see her while we were in Argentina over the last couple years. She and her husband came over to Argentina for a missions conference, our pastor's conference, and we got a chance to see her. And this was the lady who led me to the Lord in Texas 30 years ago, still out there working and serving the Lord. What is it you're willing to give for missions? Your children? Yourself? Hannah, and the story, she was willing to give her son before he was even born. She didn't know what his personality would be like. Now, no parent would ever think this, but maybe after a kid gets to be about 15 years old, you're ready to give him to the Lord. Lord, take him to the mission field somewhere. But Hannah didn't even know her son at this time. She didn't have any children. And she prayed, Lord, if you give me a son, she asked specifically for something from the Lord so that she could turn right around and give him back to the Lord. So Hannah requested something from God. And then she prayed specifically. She prayed consistently. Verse 12 says that Eli, the priest, marked her words because she prayed continually for this child. So Hannah prayed and requested something from the Lord. And then she trusted God to answer. She trusted God to answer what her request was. She said, God, I'm trusting in you. Her husband couldn't fulfill that request. She was barren. She couldn't have any children. She couldn't go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, can you help me out? She had to trust in the Lord for that. Sometimes we ask the Lord for something, and then we turn around and go to the bank and trust the bank for it. Is that trusting God? No. We can trust God to do what only He can do. There's only one God. Bank of America is not our God. We don't have to trust in other institutions and other things. We can say, Lord, this is the burden you've put on my heart, and I'm requesting this from you for the purpose of turning around and giving it right back to you. And then she trusted God for that. She said, I will trust what the Lord will give. Only God can supply the needs that we have in missions, in the goals that we have. You've got a missionary in Romania working now in Africa through another generation of people who have learned the gospel and reaching out into Africa. We can't do that on our own, can we? That's the Lord. That's the Lord working and bringing the gospel from one generation, from one group of people, right to the next. We need to trust the Lord with what He has given us, and we're going to turn right around and give it back to the Lord and trust that He'll do with it what is right. Now, the story of Hannah and Samuel, he didn't suffer any major traumatic four-wheeler accidents or any major problems that we know of as a child, but she just trusted the Lord for that. What happens to us when our children go through some kind of illness or accident? Are we trusting the Lord through those situations? Are we trusting the Lord to provide and take care of as only He can? Only God can supply the need. We ask, we say, well, God, I'll trust you for the money to send the workers and to save the souls. And so I'm going to trust you for all of that. But yet then we turn around and we don't really trust Him when God does supply it. We say, well, you know, I know God gave me this money, but I got an extra car payment this month. Or I know God said He would supply it, but I'm going to go and sell a kidney to get the money for me. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord that He's going to provide in the area of finances, the finances for missions. But then also we can trust the Lord that He's going to provide for the workers themselves. Where are the workers? Where are the next generation of missionaries going to come from? They're going to come from right here. They're going to come from the children that went out into the other room. The next generation of missionaries can be us, you and I. The next generation of missionaries can be our children or our grandchildren. Will you trust the Lord for that? Will you allow God to call your children into missions? So she asked the Lord for something. She trusted the Lord to provide it. And then she received the answer. 1 Samuel 1:19-20. 1 Samuel 1:19-20 says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She received the answer that she had been praying for. She received the answer. She prayed, and God answered. Sometimes we pray, but we don't wait for God to answer. Sometimes we pray, and we don't really trust that He's going to do it. We can pray in confidence. Hannah did. She was barren. She didn't have any kids. And she said, God, I'm praying for a kid. If you give me a boy, I'll give him right back to you. And Hannah trusted the Lord for that. Now, she prayed consistently. She prayed not just once and said, okay, God, this is what I want and I'm done. No, she prayed consistently for the need, but she trusted the Lord for it. And then the Lord provided. God answers prayers. God wants to answer our prayers. God wants to supply. God wants to send the laborers. God wants to save the souls. And therefore, He will answer when we pray in His will, pray for workers. You know, in Matthew, Jesus says, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that will send forth laborers. You know, He doesn't say, pray that we'll have a good harvest. No, the harvest is great. The harvest is out there. There's people waiting to be saved. He said, pray for the workers. Pray for the workers that they'll be there, that they'll go out, that they'll be faithful. Jesus said, pray for the workers. Pray that God would send forth laborers. The harvest is plenty. Are you praying for the workers? Are you praying that God would send people out to the mission field? Are you praying that God will send your children, if He so chooses? Now, we don't want, people say, we don't need a God, we don't need a mama called missionary or mama called pastor. Well, that's true, but God does want us to pray, and God does want us to be willing to say, God, here's my kids. Here's my children. I'm going to trust You with the lives of my kids. Are you willing to do that? Hannah was. Hannah was willing to do that, and God answered her prayer. Pray with faith, believing that God will answer. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, if you're gonna pray and trust the Lord and please the Lord, then you've got to have faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. James 1, verses 6 and 7 says, but let him ask in faith. Hannah asked in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you say, well, God, this is, I trust You to call missionaries from our church, but not my kids. God says, just trust Him. Trust Him. God wants to reach the world. God has a harvest already prepared, and God can use us to accomplish that task. Now, I've got you all scared that my kids are going to run off to the mission field. Well, it's not just your kids I'm talking about. I'm talking about you too. God can use you in the rescue mission. God can use you to reach guys who have just gotten released from prison. God can use you right here in Nashua, in the surrounding area, or wherever you live. Nobody actually lives here, right? Every time we come here, we go to somebody's house. It's an hour away. So wherever it is you live, you can be a missionary right there. And God can use you wherever you are. But God can use your children. And God can use your money. You may not ever make it to Malawi. You may never make it to Nigeria or Cameroon. But God can, and the missionaries through this church and the ministry here can. And as you trust the Lord with the finances to take to give it to the missions program, then God can bless that and use that around the world as well as here. So Hannah asked the Lord for something. She asked specifically. She prayed that God would give it to her, and then she trusted the Lord for it, and then she received it. And finally, she turned around and gave it right back to God. She gave this little boy that she had prayed for. She said, "God, I pray for a son. Will you give me a son?" God gave her a son, and she didn't say, "Well, maybe not. I don't think I can give him." No, she just said, "God, here's your boy. Here's your boy." 1 Samuel again, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. These are the verses we started with. She says, "For this child, Samuel, I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah brought her son to Eli and said, "Eli, here's my boy. He's ready to serve the Lord with you. I give him up. I give him over to the service of the Lord." Are you willing to do that with your children? Are you willing to do that with yourself? Are you willing to do that with your $3? You know, maybe you think, "What should I give for Faith Promise this year?" You know, if God puts on your heart to give $3 a month, then that's what you ought to give. And don't be stingy about it. Just hand it right over to the Lord. Hannah returned to God what she said she would give him. What God had granted to her, she turned around and gave it right back to God. And she had God's grace to just give it right back. We need to return with grace the things that God has given to us. We need to return with gladness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. We know this verse. It says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart," as God has given you that desire for faith promise, for the money, "let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Give joyfully, with gladness. When you think about that money that you're turning over to the missions program, if you think about that money as being your money, it's going to be awful hard to give it over. But if you think of it as, "God gave me this money for what purpose? To help those missionaries in Cameroon. To help those missionaries in South Africa." Then you can take that money and with gladness hand it over. One of the things I used to say to children's groups, actually somewhat jokingly, but as I've been doing this longer, it's no longer a joke to me. One of the things that we have enjoyed as a couple, as a family, is we've traveled around the world. And I haven't spent a penny. No, or at least not a penny of my money. I've spent your money traveling around the world. Now, that's pretty good. I get to go to South America, and I've been to Africa, I've been to Asia, and I haven't spent a penny of my money. Doesn't bother me at all to buy that plane ticket. You're the one that paid for it. Now, I say that jokingly, but the truth is, as long as I have that attitude, it never bothers me to have to buy a plane ticket, to have to repair my car, to have to do whatever's necessary financially. It's not my money. It was never my money to begin with. It was the money God gave me to do the ministry He's called me to. And that's the same way you can be when you think about missions. It's like, "God, this child that you've given me, he's not really my child. You've lent him to me. And God, I'm going to give him back to you to be a missionary. I'm going to give my daughter to you to serve in whatever way they should serve. This life you've given me, God, it's not really my life. I'll just give it right back to you. If you want me to be a missionary, if you want me to go to Africa and eat grub worms," that's what all missionaries in Africa do, right? They eat grub worms. "If you want me to go to Africa and eat grub worms, God, I'm willing to do it. Because it's not my life. I've traveled around the world. It's not my money. I'm out there doing what the Lord wants me to do. It's not my money. I can be cheerful in that. But if I start thinking, well, I have to pay this bill and I have to do that, and I start getting stingy with the money, I'm no longer joyful and glad to be serving the Lord. But yet, when you change the perspective and see this money that God's given you to give to missions, if you'll just give it with gladness and realize it was never yours to begin with, it makes it a whole lot easier to drop that money right into the offering plate or to hand your child over to the Lord and His service. Hannah, she came to Eli. She said, "Here's the boy. Here's what God has given me. I asked Him. I trusted Him. I received Him from the Lord. And now I'm going to return Him back to God." And she was able to do it with gladness, with grace. She didn't renegotiate with God. She didn't say, "Well, God, I know I said this, but how about you keep him for 3 years, then I'll have him for 2, and then you can have him for 5 more years. When he becomes a teenager, he's yours." And she didn't do any of that. She just said, "God, here he is." She turned him, she returned him to the Lord and said, here's my child." She returned him with gladness, with grace, with generosity. She didn't have this struggle with the Lord over the boy. What is God asking you to give this year in missions? It may be $3 a week. It may be $500 a month. Maybe much, much more than that. Well, just trust the Lord for that. If God's asking you to give it, you can give it. Maybe He's asking for your son or your daughter. And maybe God has no intentions to send your child to Cameroon. But God has the intention of you saying, "God, you can have my child." Some of you may be guilty of holding your children back and saying, "God, please call missionaries out of this church, but not my child." Don't be guilty of that. Don't be guilty of saying, "God, call somebody on the other end of the aisle, but not me." Ask the Lord specifically this week what He would have you to give for missions. Maybe money. It may be yourself. Maybe your car. Whatever the Lord's asking you to give, maybe your child, give it. Trust the Lord for it. When God supplies it and answers the prayer, then you turn right around and give it to God with grace, gratefulness, joy, gladness, because it was never yours in the first place. He gave it to you for the purpose of turning it back over to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this simple story of a woman who gave her child to You. She promised that she would do so, and she followed through with her promise. She's a great example for us as we think about missions, faith promise, and about the future of the impact this church can have in the world. God, I pray that You'll help us to consider Hannah and her son and her sacrifice as we think about missions in 2011. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.